Hello, hello, I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. We skipped last week, but I'm excited to get back talking to Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. Mike, how's it going?
Going really good. Sorry about missing last week. Thanks for getting for having me back, though.
No, no problem at all. This has been a real popular segment. I've enjoyed it quite a bit. The latest news that came out pretty much right before we started recording here on Wednesday is Tyrod Taylor has been benched for Nathan Peterman. Two very different styles of quarterback. What's your initial take on that? And I want to give some thoughts as well.
My initial take is that I'm not actually that surprised. Like, I saw it coming at some point. I didn't think it would be in the middle of the season, per se, or I didn't think it would be when they're still, you know, actually in the playoff hunt. And I think if the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs. So I didn't think it'd be then, but I thought it'd be after maybe they fell out of the playoff mix that he'd finally get benched. But yeah, I think that was the plan all along. Like, I don't think they wanted him as their starting quarterback with the renegotiating of their contract, with the way they formulated this offense this season. He just wasn't the guy for them.
I 100% agree. And I worked at Pitt for 3 years. I watched Peterman quite a bit. I was shocked he lasted as long as he did in the draft. But stylistically, he couldn't be any more different than Tyrod Taylor. I mean, I'm not suggesting that Peterman's their answer, but I do think they want that style of quarterback much more than Taylor. And I also think there will probably be some people out there saying, oh, they're tanking. This is what they wanted to do all along. I hate the word tanking, by the way. But I do think that they're looking at themselves in the mirror and saying, we really aren't a playoff team. You know, and oh, by the way, we just traded Darius, who would help us. He's playing well in Jacksonville. We have to have a pretty good analysis of where we truly are as a team.
Yeah, their moves have kind of, have suggested that they're not playing for this season. It's just, I think with all the trades they've made, they are not 2017-centric moves. They are 2018, 2019-centric moves. And so looking through that lens, this makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, and to be honest, I have no problem with taking that approach. I think that I won't say that they've accidentally won more games than they thought, but in a way they did. I mean, their turnover differential was unsustainable. And yeah, they're responding well to the new coach, but I don't think this was the plan all along.
No, I would imagine they did not think they'd be in this situation. They did not think they would be 5-4. So I do think that the plan was at some point that Tyrod Taylor was going to get benched just because he wasn't going to succeed in this offense. He needs an offense sort of catered to his strengths to be successful. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks need offenses catered to their strengths to be successful, but Taylor has strengths that are very dissimilar from, you know, the what's generally been accepted as the norm at the quarterback position over the past 10 to 15 years. So, and what they brought in as the offense coordinator there. So, and Rick Dennison. So I do think that Tyrod Taylor, just his time was going to be up. Might as well see what you have in Nathan Peterman. So I can't hate on the move. Maybe the moves that they made this offseason in terms of coaching and personnel I can hate on. But this move in isolation, I can't disagree with it.
We're going to do some quarterback evaluation later, but maybe more than any prominent quarterback in the league, that if I was Tyrod Taylor's attorney to make a case for him, or if you put me on the other side of the fence and said, be his prosecuting attorney and tear him up, I could do either equally as well.
No, there are very distinct strengths and weaknesses in Tyrod Taylor's game. He's going to protect the ball. He's not going to, you know, create a lot of turnovers. He's also at the same time not going to consistently move the sticks with his arm. He's not going to do that. He's going to have to make plays outside the pocket. He's going to have to rely on some big chunk plays that he makes with his legs or with his arm. And so from that vein, you know, there's these very distinct strengths and weaknesses. And that's why I was saying, if you're not catering an offense to those strengths, it's just bound to fail. And the last 2 years, they had top 10 offenses because they catered to him. This season, that's not the case, and they took a big step back in that regard.
And coaches, in a lot of ways, don't like that. You know, that they can't design to design all week because of who their quarterback is. And I think that's what the average fan misses at times. Last question on him, though. Let's say Jacksonville has Tyrod Taylor this year. Are they the best team in the league?
Yes, I think I just said this earlier. As this was one of my first reactions to the news, was they should have, if they were going to bench him, just throw him in the Darius trade. Like that,
right.
I think we'll that would have been a
third
perfect
rounder
fit for
a sixth rounder or something. Right.
What the Jacksonville Jaguars want to do offensively is exactly what someone like Tyrod Taylor would be able to execute and execute at a high level. I mean, that seems like a match made in heaven. And if he's their quarterback right now, yeah, I would call the Jaguars, you know, a Super Bowl favorite at this point.
Yeah, I mean, don't turn the ball over. Still rely on the defense. A quarterback with that athleticism and running skill would only enhance the running game in Fournette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do a lot better, but, you know, they have worse is really the answer.
Yeah, and with that defense, you don't need a lot on the other side of the ball.
Okay, so we talked Jags and we talked Bills a little bit. And the thing that's been sticking in my head all week is, let's pretend, or I think it's safe to say, there's five teams in the AFC that are in pretty good shape to go to the playoffs. Tennessee, Jacksonville, and the division-leading Chiefs, whose schedule gets a lot easier. Patriots and Steelers both have easy schedules. So it would be a real upset to me, even if Tennessee loses Thursday, that these five teams are not playoff teams. Do you agree with that?
Yes, which is pretty crazy this far out, but
right.
I don't think there's any way one, like a quarterback would have to go down for one of those teams for them to get passed up and miss the playoffs.
Exactly. But it brings me to this, is just this past week, basically everyone else in the AFC was either off or lost. Somebody has to go to the playoffs. The rules tell us six teams are going to the playoffs in the AFC. I would love for Washington or Detroit or a team in the NFC that I don't think is a playoff caliber team to be in the AFC. So how does it shake out? Like, I kind of look at it and say, wow, Oakland's not dead yet, but they have a tough schedule. Baltimore's not dead yet, but they're terrible. Cincy's not dead yet. I mean, somebody's going to go.
Yeah, truthfully, I think it could be one of those 3-6 teams, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Bengals, probably not the Texans at this point without Deshaun Watson, but one of those three teams, I think, are probably the most talented after we're talking about, you know, those five that are locks at this point to make the playoffs. I think those are probably the three most talented teams. Raiders are obviously flawed and, like you said, have a tough schedule. Bills are making decisions to try to make themselves, you know, I don't think Nathan Peterman's going to hop in right away and run that offense to be incredibly effective. And their defense, their run defense has just been a nightmare without Marcel Darius. So I think they have their own issues. So it really is wide open. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if it is one of those 3-6 teams. Chargers really shot themselves in the foot this past weekend, not taking care of the Jaguars, because they shot themselves in the foot in a bunch of games this season. But if they, you know, come away, if they're 4-5 or 5-4 right now, I think they would be easily the favorite for that sixth spot.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Chargers in a second, but the conspiracy theorist could say the Bills are afraid they might end up sneaking in the playoffs. Let's make the quarterback move now, because it's a lot different picking 8th, 9th, 10th than 20th or 22nd or so.
I wouldn't disagree with that point either. I think that's a very valid reason if you are a front office to not, I guess you do hate the word tanking. I think it's a very valid form of setting yourself up to be better in later years, because once you get to that draft, if you're drafting 21st versus 8th, that, you know, teams will give up the 21st pick. They'll give up another second round pick, and they'll give up like a fourth round pick to move up that high.
Mm-hmm.
You see it every year. Whereas if you just, you know, make a switch of quarterback, all of a sudden you don't need to give up those picks to get that high in the draft.
Yeah, like, holy smokes, we're in trouble. We might make the playoffs because the AFC is so terrible, even though we're not good. And then they get their doors blown off in round one. Chargers, I picked them to win the division. So I've been a fan. But I've been saying this about them the whole time, is of all those, take those five teams out of the AFC, I think LA is the best team remaining. Like, that's the team I'd least want to play. But they don't win games. You know, that's so.
Yeah, they'll play everybody close. They'll play the Patriots within, you know, 6 points, but they're not going to finish it off at the end. There's no chance.
They don't win. I don't know what else to say about them. I mean, I like the team, but if they would have had a kicker earlier in the year, maybe we'd be saying there's six teams that are guaranteed to go. Maybe they'd even be challenging the Chiefs. I mean, I think they're a quality team, but they have no idea how to win in this league, and it's every week.
It's almost like a joke at this point because it's been multiple seasons in a row where it's the case. And I don't know what it is because
Multiple
it's not always
coaches.
Phillip Rivers, but sometimes Phillip Rivers, sometimes it's, running back fumbling in the fourth. It's just everything seems the wheels just fall off for them down the stretch for some reason. Multiple different coaching staffs. It's a joke at this point. They are a cursed franchise.
All right. So we kind of went around the AFC. The what you said you told me you've been working on of late is second year quarterbacks, and I'm smitten with Wentz. I've said that since he was drafted. I've said many times that if I have first pick in an expansion draft and I can start my team with anyone, it would be Wentz. I was very skeptical of Dak, but I have really come around on him in a big way, and I think that he's more of a driving force than ever for that team. And I'm really getting sold on Goff too, a lot of it because of the situation he's in. Of course, he's never mentioned with those three and shouldn't be, don't get me wrong. But I like Jacoby Brissett too. I mean, I'm really intrigued with him just talking about second year quarterbacks. Before we start breaking these guys down, at this time a year ago, I was pretty smitten with Winston and Mariota too. And I think it's a little bit of a cautionary tale that these guys don't rise up the boards maybe as fast as people think. And I still have a lot of hope, especially for Mariota, but both. Do you see stumbles ahead? You know what I mean? Like, things are going really well for these teams, but we talked about schedules. The Rams have a really difficult schedule ahead, and he's just tortured two bad defenses back to back. What if Dak doesn't have Elliott for a stretch? Is Wentz going to come back to earth a little? What are your thoughts on these guys?
Yeah, I do think it is worth mentioning, like you said, quarterback development is not this, steady upward curve. There are, humps and there are peaks and valleys in over the course of a season, over the course of, multiple years. Like I wasn't as sold on Mariota and Winston a season ago, but they've seemed to have sort of flatlined, at least Winston for sure in their development. So I do though think that at least Wentz and Goff, just from where they were collegiately, was seemed further behind Mariota and Winston. And so the fact that they have made the strides they have over the course of 2 years is almost encouraging to think that they're only going to keep getting better on their learning curve, because those guys were like they were very raw coming out and looked like it very much at times their rookie seasons. And Goff, I think, has easily made the biggest transition
Sure.
from year one to year two. A lot of that, like you said, aided by the fact that he had no talent whatsoever around him in the first as a rookie, no sort of creative offensive game planning around him as a rookie. And now he's gone to the complete opposite end of the spectrum where he has a ton of talent, great offensive line, all these weapons, and a head coach who's very much offensive minded, and Sean McVay is doing a lot of stuff for him. So he's been on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. So maybe the real him is somewhere in between. But I just think from a comfort and decision-making standpoint, it couldn't be more night and day. He seems like the guy I thought we'd be seeing out of when he came out of Cal. So I like what I see from him. But like you said, Wentz game is at another level right now. He's
Before we
the
talk Wentz, I just
clear.
want to stop you real
Okay.
quick because I think something that's really interesting about Goff is obviously he's being coached very, very well now. And the Rams have done extreme measures to make his life easier, starting with the head coach they hired, the receivers they've signed and traded for, Whitworth, Sullivan, all those guys. But I kind of like you mentioned, I think there's also some addition by subtraction of getting away from last year's staff. And you know who else is benefiting from that? Case Keenum.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, remember, I mean,
He
he was a
looks,
nightmare
yeah.
last year. And not that he's great. I'd rather have Goff, don't get me wrong, but maybe Keenum was better than we thought last year.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case, and especially everywhere Keenum's gone, it's been a nightmarish sort of situation for a quarterback to go. And so he could be, in that whole group of starters, guys who are going to be maybe free agents this year that could be starters. He's one name that I'd also look out for. But I will say the one thing that's encouraging about Goff that doesn't sort of worry me too much in terms of will his play start to slip? Will there be some rocky times ahead? Is the fact that he went through Seattle and Jacksonville back to back, and while
Yeah.
he didn't play, he didn't light the world on fire, he didn't dominate either of those defenses. He didn't get his doors blown off. He didn't revert into the guy we saw his rookie year, who just couldn't make good decisions with the football whatsoever. He still led some drives. He still moved them down the field a little bit. Now, it wasn't great. It wasn't, you know, elite level quarterback play, but it was better than you would expect, sort of replacement level quarterback would do against those defenses with how good they are. So I commend him for that. He did not completely fall apart in those games, if that's a compliment whatsoever. But just the old Goff would have certainly crumbled under that sort of pressure, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know that he has typical first overall tools, but there's a pedigree there too. I mean, this guy was the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, like you said, he doesn't have the ideal body type. He still looks ridiculously skinny out there. He doesn't have a rocket for an arm, but he has his strengths coming out of college were accuracy in the intermediate range, even accuracy in the deep range, and sort of decision making. He had the game against Utah where he threw a bunch of picks, but he wasn't routinely putting the ball in harm's way, and he was playing in a high volume passing offense where it's not unrealistic that he'd throw a handful of picks. He didn't have that Jameis Winston type season where he threw a ton of picks. He never had that. So I do think what we've seen from him year two is very encouraging.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's he's on the course to be a true franchise quarterback, and people use that term much looser than I do. A top 10, 12 guy, if we're doing quarterback rankings, probably for the foreseeable future. I mean, I think that's where all three of these guys are at. What are your take on Wentz and Dak?
Yeah, Wentz looks like... So the biggest concern still with Wentz is if that offensive line sort of falls apart, because he's under pressure. He's still been very erratic with the football in terms of accuracy. I think he's 30th in completion percentage when he's facing pressure this year. So the biggest thing with him and that Philadelphia offenses, make sure he's not facing pressure. And when he's not, he's as good as it gets in the NFL, right? And not as good as it gets because Tom Brady is still playing at another level, but he is, that notch below, he is that sort of good when he is kept clean and can go through his progressions. He's just very accurate with the football down the field. He's just been one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL this year.
And one thing I thought not only really hurt him last year was, kind of like you said, Lane Johnson went out, and he's a great player. But it was almost got to the point, too, where by week 7 or 8 or so last year, maybe a little later, it seemed like he trusted Zach Ertz, and that was it.
Yeah, no, there's something to be said for you can never really separate a quarterback from the talent around him, because one guy has to get open, one guy has to find him open. So if the one guy's not doing his job getting open, all of a sudden it looks like the guy getting open isn't doing his job either, when it's really not. So he had no one, like you said, he was just going to Zach Ertz because he trusted Zach Ertz to get open. I'm not trusting Nelson Agholor to get open on the outside. I'm still not. So it's sort of that symbiotic relationship that's hard to assign blame to. And now he has guys that can get open, and all of a sudden, oh wow, he looks like the quarterback we thought he'd be as the number 2 pick.
Yeah, and talking about a symbiotic relationship, I mean, the one in Dallas is extreme, where especially last year, Prescott, of course, exceeded all expectations. I mean, no one saw that coming. And that being said, I thought Zeke should have been the rookie of the year, not Dak. But now you look at it, and I really think Dak has taken an underappreciated huge step forward in week 2, where I feel like it's his offense much more than it was.
No, I don't think the stats may not look as good from the raw, yards per attempt, that sort of stuff. But he's been in far less favorable situations. He's had to do far more on his own, been asked to do far more. And I think he's delivered in a good way. Like that's still, a top sort of 10 offense if they have Tyron Smith at left tackle. If they don't have a turnstile left tackle,
right.
It's still a top 10 offense. So, and he's leading it on his own. Now he still has this sort of very unique playing style where it's almost all in this, 7 to 15 yard range. Almost all his throws seem to be in that range, and I think people are sort of starting to pick up on that. He's having to do a little more, but a lot of that is also the talent they have there, and Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, those are their bread and butter, those are their money ranges in terms of where they get open. So that's why he's done so well in that offense, but it's also they need the talent to be able to stretch the field, because I think he could be successful down the field with more deep passes. They just don't have the talent to execute that sort of offense.
Yeah, I think their weapons are more of a liability than people tend to realize, too. That Witten really doesn't move the needle anymore. You know, I mean, he's fine. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I get it. I would like to see more Bryce Butler. I don't understand why he doesn't see the field more. And Terrence Williams has had that huge day, so it probably won't happen. But I think some sort of receiver, you know, either a speed wide out or a more dynamic tight end, although Rico Gathers is floating around, is a very, very high offseason priority for Dallas.
Yeah, I think we've touched on that before. Yeah, they don't have the stretch the field ability. Like, you have guys, Dez Bryant is good down the field. He's not going to separate a ton down the field, though, which is, there's a difference between that. Some quarterbacks don't like throwing it to a guy just trusting that he'll go get it. And Dak Prescott is shown to be probably one of those guys because he just doesn't take a lot of deep shots. He's been, in the first 2 years in the NFL, one of the lowest percentages of his passes that go 20 plus yards down the field, each of his rookie and second years. So he's just not a guy who's going to take those sort of chances if he doesn't see someone wide open.
I'm not sure that accuracy is ever going to be a giant, giant strength for Dak, but I am shocked that he's as accurate at this level as he is. You know, after watching him coming out of school, rarely do guys improve in that department.
No, that was actually probably my biggest criticism of him was anything. And maybe that's why he doesn't throw it down the field, to be honest.
Because yeah, right.
My deep ball in college was bad, legitimately bad. His ball positioning on those throws was never impressed me. And one of the biggest reasons why I'm like, I just don't think he's going to translate to the NFL because there's only so much you can do, you know, in the, like I said, the 7 to 15 yard range. There's only so much you can do in that range as a quarterback. At some point, you have to make the defenses respect that deep ball. And they really haven't had to do that because, one, like you said, the running game has been so good that you're always in positions where 7 yards is a first down. You know, 7 to 10 yards is a first down. He can just live in that range. So I think we'll see. This will be the big test of him without Ezekiel Elliott these next handful of weeks. What happens with him? Does he, you know, fall apart like that Falcons game? Now, obviously, that was sort of on the left tackle as well. But does he, if he's kept clean, is he going to be able to execute that offense at a high level? This will be probably his biggest test to date.
Last question, and I will let you go. If you had to put a chip on one of those guys as your quarterback, who is it?
I'm still going to stick with Jared Goff because I think 2 years is still a little early to shy away from my pre-draft evaluation. He was the guy I had at the highest because in that draft evaluation, you get to see a guy who's at his absolute most comfortable in an offense he's been in, you know, for multiple years with receivers he knows and all that sort of stuff. And him at his most comfortable, Jared Goff was playing at an extremely high level, an incredibly high level at the quarterback position, higher than I thought, you know, Prescott and Wentz were. So just with more comfort level, we'll see if he continues to grow and play the quarterback at an even higher level. I think it's just his ceiling at that position I just think it's a little higher than Wentz and Prescott because I just think he's a little more accurate at all levels of the field. So I'll stick with Goff, but I'll say Wentz is climbing up on him fast.
Cool. No, I hear you. Mike, this was great. Thanks so much. We will do it again next week.
Yep. Thanks, Matt. Have a good one.
You too.